Good morning. Can you hear? This is Moon River. It's 6:54 a.m. here in San Francisco. And I'm thinking a lot about my mom. And she'll know as soon as she hears this, because we had a long talk yesterday. Anyways, this song always reminds me of my mom, and I woke up thinking about my mom, and then this song popped into my mind, and I thought, oh yeah, maybe I'll share a little bit of it.
To see the world, there's such a lot of world to see.
It's interesting. I just heard that line. I'm going to turn this down. And so I just heard that line, you know, two drifters off to see the world. There's such a lot of world to see. And it's so poignant in this moment in time when, you know, there is still so much world to see, obviously, right? I'm just looking outside right now, and there's three little birds flying around in this crabapple tree outside my window. There's a big wide sky, and there's a big breeze that's blowing all of the leaves that make them look like they're waving at me. There is a lot of world to see, and also, as my mom and I were talking about yesterday, there's a lot of world that I think a lot of us would wish that we could be seeing and that we're not able to because of the pandemic. And I guess this is kind of where I want to start today, which is that I've been really sad this week. It's summertime, and as many of you know, because I typically write about it every summer, my West Coast family, my son and his dad and my beau and Ian and I all go to Ohio for a couple weeks to spend some time with my mom, and often my nieces are there as well. My sister might come over for a day or two while we're there, and it's such a joyful time. It's like just like summer camp there. We get to have bonfires and go get ice cream, or we make homemade ice cream, and we have water balloon fights. And anyway, this sense of like there's such a lot of world to see, and the world I would really want to be seeing, like we do every year, is with my mom, hanging out with her and having that time together. And it's just not available right now because of the pandemic. And so my mom and I were just talking about all this yesterday, and we found ourselves sort of drifting in and out of feeling kind of worried and sad about it, and then kind of coming back to, you know, the world's not over. Here we are, right? And here we are talking on the phone, and we're healthy, and, you know, we're hopeful that there will be a time when we can have that kind of in-person time together again. And it's all there, right? So I think my two thoughts for today. One is that I want to be able to hold the feelings of sadness and kind of offer permission to anyone out there who might be listening to this, who's missing whatever, you know, quote unquote world there is out there that you wish, you know, you might be participating in. So there's that, you know. Really, I was listening to a Brené Brown podcast earlier this week that I found very helpful and soothing, and she was talking about the idea of comparative suffering, and that sometimes what happens is when there's a lot of really big things going on for other people. In this case, we all know people that are sick, or people who are dying from the pandemic, or loss of lives, loss of jobs, some huge losses, and of course we're in the midst of the Black Lives Matter here in the United States, and really aware of so much pain that people have gone through and are going through currently. Anyways, Brené was saying that it's like it's dangerous and not helpful to not allow ourselves to have whatever suffering we have, thinking that our empathy is limited. You know, that if I feel bad, let's just use this case, if I allow myself to feel bad that I really, really miss my mom and this kind of big family time, then I won't have enough empathy left over for, you know, healthcare workers, or for people who have lost their jobs, or, you know, people who are, you know, challenging racism, right? And like all of that, right? But the truth is, and I really love that she was pointing this out, is empathy begets empathy. You know, it just allows us to feel more. And that also we have to allow ourselves to feel our feelings, because otherwise they just get bottled up and we end up suppressing them. And then perhaps we move into a truly depressed state where we're really not feeling anything and not able to be there for ourselves or anyone else. So, I hope I remember. I'll try to remember to put the link in my writing so that you have... Actually, let me write that down so I don't forget, because maybe I will forget by the time I... Anyway, it was a great podcast. And then the other thing that I wanted to say, this is all thank you and courtesy to my wonderful mom. We've been having, as we often do, some back and forths about letter writing. And I think it's connected. It's going to seem a little disjointed, probably because it's seeming a little disjointed in my head, but it's not, in that my mother is someone who has always written a lot of letters and a lot of cards or postcards. She sends boxes in the mail. She is, as I told her yesterday, you know, she's going to be the one who keeps the post office thriving through all this. Anyway, we were talking about the lost art of letter writing and what a shame it is, because there's so much connection that happens in letter writing, not just the connection to the person we're sending the letter to, but first and foremost, the way we connect to ourselves when we sit down to write a letter and the process of writing a letter, and how it helps us sort out sort of what's top of mind and what's important to us and our relationship to that person. So my mother said, you know, tell your Simply Celebrate community to please write more letters. And, you know, I think it is a big part of what we can do during this time, when it might seem as if we're not able to physically travel to some of those worlds that we really wish we could inhabit with people we love, that we can connect. Of course, we can connect via Zoom and phone and text. I know there's lots of ways to connect, but sending a letter to people is a really special way to connect. There's something energetic that gets carried when we take all that time to, and again, when I say letter, it could be a card, right? It doesn't have to be a full-fledged letter, although I do encourage you to try to write, you know, a real letter, but it could be also be a greeting card. But there's something about the energy and time to write it, to address it, to find a stamp, buy a stamp, and get it to the post office and to send it off. And the joy of opening your mailbox and seeing something that is hand addressed to you, something that's love being sent from somewhere. We all know this, right? We all know this, that there's an exquisite surprise, and it could really change our day. One piece of mail that's personal. And I know it because my mom, she's always sending cards and letters, and she'll put a $5 bill in. And, you know, it's so connecting to get that. And it changes my day because it really does make it feel as if we're inhabiting the same world for a moment. So anyways, my mother said, please, please, please tell your community to write letters. And I said, okay. And then she said, this is what one of the many, many things I love about my mom. She said, if they don't have anyone to write to, have them write to me, and I promise I'll write back to anybody who writes to me. Now, those of you who so wonderfully and generously participated in the birthday card bonanza that I orchestrated for my mom a few years ago, you know, because anyone who sent her a birthday card, I think it was maybe 2 or 3 years ago, I can't remember now, but anyone who sent her a birthday card, she responded. And I know that some of you are still writing back and forth with my mom, and you know she means it. So if there's anybody out there, we were talking about this yesterday on the phone, that for some people, it may not be, of course, that you don't have anybody to write to, but maybe you don't have anybody you could write to where you feel like you could be honest about how you're feeling or what's going on for you. And it would be really lovely to be able to say that to somebody who's caring and loving and understanding. And that would be my mom. So maybe you feel like you just want to share something and it's scary to do with somebody that you know. I just think it's such a beautiful... Sorry. I thought I lost you for a minute. It's such a beautiful way to honor ourselves, to honor what's going on for us. My friend Jill and I were talking about this. I actually interviewed her a couple months ago about letter writing because I found a whole stack when I was at my mom's house for the month of January. I found about 1,200 or 1,400 letters, personal letters that have been written to me within this decade of my life right after college. And my friend Jill, I had just, I don't know, dozens and dozens of letters. And so we got on, we were talking about it, and just recently just talking about, wow, why don't we do that anymore? And Jill was saying, and I know this is true, is that there's something so wonderful that happens when we sit down to write like that, is we really get a chance to see some things that maybe we're not aware of because we're just busy, you know, running around or being in the moment and not really aware of certain parts of ourselves that want to speak. So anyway, this is my message for today. I guess those two pieces, and both of them are thanks to my mom that I've been really seeing. One is the let ourselves feel what we feel, and it's not going to take away from everything that we can feel for anyone else who's going through some really, you know, difficult, grief-filled, hard times, but we can still have our losses. And there are our losses of all kinds going on right now. And I'll hope that you will listen to that Brené Brown, because it's really comforting and she's so damn smart. And then the second thing is, I'm offering this challenge on behalf of my mom. Write a letter. And if you can, actually really make it a real letter, you know, watch what happens. Set a timer for 15 or 20 minutes and start a letter to someone that you think would really be uplifted by receiving something in the mail. And again, if you want to write to my mom, I'm not going to post her address in an email, but all you have to do is I'll put a little link in my letter to you, my written letter, and you can simply hit reply and I'll send you her mailing address. All right? So I hope you take me up on it. And if anybody has any beautiful stories about letters, handwritten or personal letters or, you know, correspondence in that way, also let me know that, because I'm starting to collect stories and it would be really fun to hear more. All right, sending you lots of love and sending you that feeling of beautiful surprise and of being connected and loved when you open the mailbox. Just picture that right now, how good that feels. And sending you the joy of inhabiting the world we inhabit. Like right now, for me, being able to look out and those three birds are still flitting around in this tree, it kind of looks like they're playing chase. And I send you a big wide sky that is over all of us, watching over all of us. All right, happy Sunday. Bye-bye.